And I hope, like me, you have enjoyed our sermon series that we have begun this autumn with, whereas we've been thinking afresh about the place of eating and praying and loving and serving in our Christian discipleship. And today we come to the place of dreaming. And dreaming is the right theme for this Sunday in All Saints' Year. Is traditionally known as Vision Sunday. So putting our dreaming and the word vision together is really important. And I wonder how you come tonight with dreams for yourself and dreams for our church family. And the message that I want to share all day is this has been a church of dreams through the decades and through the generations. And we are blessed today by the dreams that others have held for us. Let's look at the next slide. The top picture is the picture of the East End of All Saints at the turn of the 20th century. It's a picture of All Saints that is half the size that it is today. Those of you who are sitting in the front three rows would have been sitting outside at the turn of the 20th century. Those of you who are sitting where Helen Pollard is, you'd be sitting where the communion table is. And just over there, the pulpit would have been. There would have been balconies around three quarters of the church. And the church would have ended just there. And the ladies, and I say the ladies of Ecclesall at the turn of the 20th century, dreamed dreams of a bigger church, a more beautiful church, a church that would grow and a church that would glorify God. And the result of their dreams was the building of this Temple Moor Gothic Revival extension. And it's very lovely that we have some visitors with us today who've come to find out more about the architecture of this church. Very lovely this morning that we had a family with us who travelled from Warrington because they'd seen this building on Songs of Praise. At the beginning of the 20th century, the ladies of this parish dreamed of this extension. They dreamed, they worked, they prayed, they gave, and they built, and they blessed. And we have been blessed by it. Next slide. But within 10 years of building this, they were dreaming again because they were in the midst of the First World War and asking questions, how will we mark the sacrifices of all those who have given their lives in the First World War? And they purchased the farm at the end of Ringing Low Road. And they built what was called, or the farmhouse became, the Memorial Hall. And it developed during the 20th century into the parish halls that we use today and that hundreds and thousands of people use during the course of the year. They dreamed, they prayed, they worked, they gave, they built, and they blessed. Next slide. Next one, thank you. After that one, thank you. And even whilst they were having those dreams, they were dreaming about building a church in Greystones and a church in Werlow. The top picture is the church today of St. Gabriel's. The land was bought in 1913 by Mary Haig and her daughter, Enid, gave the legacy that restored this building in the 60s, that completed the building of St. Gabriel's and paid for the building of the chapel at Werlow. They dreamed, they prayed, they gave, they built, and they blessed. Go back a slide, please. Some of you here will remember the top picture. That's how this building looked on the inside until 1998. And I can just remember it. We came as a young family with a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old to morning worship in this huge barn of a building, which was very brown and very dark and very cold. We lasted 20 minutes before we found ourselves in Summerfield as was. We didn't come back for 6 years. We didn't know that already this congregation was dreaming of what this building could be like, dreaming of what we see today, a light, spacious building that welcomes all generations to worship. In 1998, they were dreaming, they were praying, they were giving, they were building, and they were blessing. And dreams are part of who God's people are and have been throughout the ages. That reading that we had read from Joel's prophecy, right close to the end of the Old Testament, where the Jewish people have been through so much. They've been through the Exodus. They've been through the exile. Their beloved Jerusalem has been desecrated. They have been away from God. They have come back to God. And Joel speaks the words that we then hear in Peter's voice on the day of Pentecost to the Jewish people gathered from all over the world into Jerusalem. At the moment when the Jewish people experience the Spirit, Peter goes back to the word of the Old Testament and helps them understand who they are and where they are going. It's a remarkable reading that in the Joel reading in particular, set very powerfully in the end times, the end of all things, the end of this chapter of human experience. And then we find Peter repeating it in that first sermon. And it is remarkable that as human experience and history goes towards its destination, God promises the gift of His Spirit, not on the temple, not on the priests, not in the Holy of Holies, not even on the Jewish people, but on all flesh. The Greek scholars amidst us will be jumping up and down saying, yes, it's sarx, it really is that word that means flesh, that you can touch, that's a bit messy, that sums up human experience. I will pour out my Spirit on all human beings. And I will look to the generations, for it will be your children who will prophesy. Your sons and your daughters, without differentiation. There is no sense in this passage, well, the sons will do it over here, and the daughters will do it in a complementary way over there. There is nothing in this text that says the men and the women will have a different experience, even if they're equal. Your sons and your daughters, without differentiation, shall prophesy. Your young men will see dreams, so will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams, and just in case we were worried that the women were being excluded, we come straight back in. My male servants and my female servants, without differentiation, in those days, I will pour out my Spirit and I prophesy. It is a challenge for every church, whatever our tradition. As we together journey towards, through God's salvation history, to the end of this chapter of eternity, we should be looking for the Spirit to come on all flesh, men and women, young and old, rich and poor, without differentiation. My Spirit on all generations. Let's look at the next reading. And the sense of that passage has been held in this church for decades and generations. Today we describe it in this way, that we are loving God, living life, and sharing faith. That our calling is to be vibrant and missional, a multi-generation church, Christian community. That we worship the God who's revealed himself as Trinity, but our worship is daily. And we're called to share our faith in this community and beyond. All generations called into the life of the Spirit, male and female together. It was really lovely yesterday. If you weren't in church for Will and Lucy's wedding, you missed a very special time. The place was full of all the generations of our church family, all the generations of their families and their friends, to watch Will and Lucy be married. How lovely it was, how appropriate it was, and how right it is for a church of all the generations to see new generations being born. There were 18 babies in the creche this morning. 18. To see new generations being married. It's lovely this autumn to see couple after couple from within the church family getting married. It's also lovely and important that we gather as a whole church family, all the generations, when a member of the family dies, and we share that together. Our calling is to be a vibrant, missional, and multi-generation Christian community. Living out God's dreams for us, the dreams that he invites us to step into. And the giving that has been given over the years has been given to support and enable the dream to grow. Today is Vision Sunday as we set out our stewardship appeal for the autumn. And if you've not yet got one of our brochures, please collect one on the way out. And you can see charted here in our giving the difficult years when our giving was going down and our dreams were diminishing, or rather our capacity to live out our dreams. And Joel might have used the phrase that those were the years that the locust was eating away at our resources and our dreams. And it is a joy to us to see our giving recovering and enabling us together to support the dreams that this church has had over many generations. For this church long ago dreamed not just of buildings, but dreamed of appointing a youth minister and a children's minister, a families minister 14 years ago, a minister for the retired. And it was lovely at our last PCC meeting that we had a review of seniors' ministry, and people were dreaming again that we need a staff member to focus the ministry on the very oldest generations. It's a blessing and a joy to me to see our giving recovering. But it is a stretch in 2014, 2017, as we have aimed and aspired for our giving to be 415,000. It will be a stretch. I think we'll get close. But it will be a stretch. And it will be a bigger stretch next year to give 440,000. together to enable us to live out and to fulfill the dreams that have been dreamed in our generation and in the generations before us. Next slide. Our chart tells us that we have been doing well, because that decline could have continued downwards. And under God's grace, we have been going back up the other side. But there is no room for complacency, and it could be just this moment as a church family when we think we're doing well, I'll let other people pray and other people give. This is the moment when we all need to pray. And for those of us who have responsibility over our family assets and income, it is a moment for us to think about our giving. There are members of the church family who don't have control over their family and their household incomes, and I fully understand that. But those of us who do, we are called to pray and give, I believe. This is a moment when we could be complacent, and I need to challenge myself and to challenge you too, not to be complacent, but to take the giving brochure and to pray and to give as much as we are able. And in our household, that means that we give 10% of my stipend, that we then give more from Gillian's salary. And again, this year, we will commit to give more than an inflation increase in our giving into the finances of this church family. And it's an important moment for me and us to commit to do that. This year, we've had a planned deficit of 25,000, planned, expected, in order to grow our staffing. Next year, we're planning to reduce the deficit from 25,000 down to 15,000 so that we can clear it in 2019 as we grow. But it means that we have a stretch for the year to come of increasing our giving. I mean, encouraging and praying that we would increase our giving to 25,000. 2018 will be an important year. Next slide. It is important that we are full of thanksgiving for all those who have dreamed dreams before us. The dreams that I've shared tonight, the dreams that many have lived through who are still members of the church family. It's also a moment that we are no longer talking about the recovery, but we're talking about renewing the dreams that have been held by the different generations of this church family. And the dreams are being renewed now and going forward. Put your hand up if you've been on an All Saints Parish weekend away. Put your hand up. Really high? Wonderful. Many of us have. Put your hands up if you've never been on an All Saints Parish weekend away. Thank you. Put your hands down, thinking, we have not had one for at least, I think, 7 years. Now, anybody tell me if I'm correct? About 7 years. And they were a regular part of being a multi-generation church family in this place. And the time is coming for us to go away together. So we have stepped out. We're in the process of making a booking. We're booking a hotel in Buxton, suitable for all generations, and with beds for 300 people, more than we have ever taken away. But I want us to dream big, that everybody will feel that they can come, single, married, young, old, those who need en suites, those who need swimming pools, those who need morning teas, and those who need good service in the bar, and a short walk to a decent tea shop, Buxton is the right place for everyone. The booking is about to be made. We've negotiated hard on the price. And in January, we will open the bookings a year in advance, Nobody I know as yet in All Saints has told me that they are already busy in the last weekend of January 2019. Nobody has an excuse at this point. But it will be an important moment for us to say everybody can come, that all generations can be there, that we grow family together. It's more than twice the number we've ever taken away before. But the people who dreamed dreams about this dreamed ambitiously. Why should we dream less in 2017, 18, and 19? But let's look at the renewing of our dreams. The second picture down, the shared mission in St. Gabriel's. This morning, for the first time, 10 members of All Saints went and helped and supported and resourced the worshipping in St. Gabriel's in order to help that church grow for new generations. The bottom picture of the chapel at Werlow, where the ministry has been growing over these last few years, and yet you still can't go to the loo very easily, and you can't get a cup of tea very easily. By this time next year, there will be a proper kitchen, proper double glazing, two loos, a facility that can be used much more than it is at the current, with the dream of public worship happening there every Sunday, as was dreamed when it was first built. The parish halls, we need to be celebrating the centenary of their building and dreaming dreams afresh on how we can serve the community. And then this building. The wedding was wonderful yesterday. Everything that happened in here was wonderful. But if you wanted a cup of tea afterwards, you needed to queue for a long time. And if you know what goes in, eventually has to come out. And you had to queue even longer for the two loos. We need to be able to serve refreshments in this building easily for 500 people. And then we need to let them go to the loo afterwards. We need rooms for the creche to grow. We need to aspire for a creche room for 25, not for 18. We need rooms for our children and our youth and our seniors ministry and everything in between on this site, not on another site. On Saturday morning, the PCC are going to the cathedral to look at their extension of facilities. And then that will lead into our first conversation with our architect about how we might grow this building, how we might extend this building. And our first feasibility study of an extension on that side will be drawn up before Christmas. Now listen carefully. Feasibility study, just the first stab at it. At All Saints, we will need at least 3 feasibility studies. I've already had one discussion with somebody today who wants to go down into the crypt. So I'm thinking there'll be a feasibility study for there and for there, for an extension there, and possibly going down into the crypt before we know what is the right dream, to pray, to give, and to build. Last slide. As we go into 2018, we need to do so full of thanksgiving for those who've dreamed before us. We need together to take responsibility for renewing the dreams held by the generations in this place. And a first part of that for us as a church family will be to aspire to increase our giving by £25,000 in the year to come. And I ask you each to take the brochure away with you. All of us can pray, even if we don't have responsibility for our family household incomes. All of us are encouraged to pray, and most of us, I pray, to encourage to give. And then I encourage you to pray again, because God's ambitions might be just a little bit bigger than your first prayer. And when God does that with us, we build things like this. Amen.